Now I would like to turn your attention back to 1 Samuel 4. God gave to Elkanah and to Hannah this boy Samuel, and he grew up under the influence of Eli the high priest at Shiloh. And Israel was at a low ebb. The priesthood was corrupt. Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas were corrupt, as we saw on a previous occasion. And there were the faithful people in Israel who worshipped God, but they had gone over to a great deal of idolatry, as we shall see. And the climax of their demise came with this defeat by the Philistines and the capture of the Ark of God. Phinehas' wife, who was expecting a baby, heard that her husband had died, and that her father-in-law had died, and that the Ark of God, and especially this last thing, that the Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines. She came into labour early, as a shock can sometimes do with an expectant mother, and she died in childbirth. Before she died, she named the boy, and she gave him the name Ichabod. And the name Ichabod means "the glory has departed." And so therefore there was a message in the name. She gave that dying name. As she died, she gave him that name, Ichabod. The glory has departed. As we said when we considered Samuel's name, which means something of God. Of course, you would have expected Hannah to have given her son a special name. And we're not sure exactly what it means. Some say heard of God. Some say asked of God. Some say a godly name. They said, what should we call the boy? Give him a godly name, Samuel. Well, there was a message in the name. It was rather like later on when Isaiah became a father, the great prophet Isaiah. And he was told by God what to call his child. He was to call him Mahershalal Hashbaz. I'm glad I wasn't the pastor that had to dedicate. I'm sure I would have got that wrong, or what his shortened name would have been. Mahershalal Hashbaz, it meant quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. And of course it was prophetic of the Assyrian victory which was to come over Syria and over Samaria. It was a warning. As I heard another preacher once say, it meant that every time anybody asked the baby's name, they got a sermon. They got a message. Well, the same was certainly true of Ichabod. It's a very solemn word. The glory has departed. The story, as you know from the fact that we read it but recently, the story is that Israel was already under the oppressive yoke of the Philistines, and they got, of course, fed up with this, and eventually they tried to cast off the yoke of the Philistines, and they mobilized an army and went out to fight against the Philistines, hoping that God would give them the victory, for after all they were the people of God. But instead of that, they were defeated, and 4,000 were killed in the first battle. And the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord done this to us? We are the people of God. Why hasn't he delivered us? We will fetch the Ark of God from Shiloh. And I'm going to return to that, God willing, next Sunday morning, because there's a message just in that. And they brought up the Ark of the Covenant of God, the covenant box, overlaid with gold, with the angels that symbolized the presence of God. They fetched that from Shiloh, accompanied by the priests, who carried it with two poles and the other Levites, and they brought it into the camp expecting that now God must give them the victory. Having the ark was having God, they thought, and thereby made a very grave mistake. And there are many lessons for us to learn in that, as I hope to show you next Sunday. And so they went out to fight again, and this time it was worse. In spite of the fact that they had great psychological uplift, they shouted with such a shout that the ground shook, and the Philistines were afraid. So all the psychological strength was with them. Their adrenaline was really going. They really felt they were going to win now, these Israelites. And they went out to fight, and they were greatly defeated, as we read together. 30,000 killed, every man fled to his home, try and get away into the hill country. But worst of all, the ark was itself captured. And that had never happened before. And when the Benjaminite runner returned to Shiloh, there was old 98-year-old Eli sitting on a chair, virtually blind, sitting on a chair waiting for news, and the runner didn't feel he could give him the news. His sons had been killed, the army had been defeated, the ark had been captured. He went straight into Shiloh and told the inhabitants there, and there was such a wailing and a tumult that Eli heard it, and he said, come on, tell me what has happened. And as you know, when the Benjaminite told him what had happened, he had probably had a heart attack. At any rate, he fell off this chair and broke his neck, and he died. And it is to his credit that the thing that really smote his heart was the fact that the Ark of God had been captured. And when this woman heard the news, she too died in childbirth and gave to her son this name, Ichabod. The glory has departed. Now, why did God allow all this to take place? Well, I don't want to stay with that this morning. But first of all, clearly we can see they had a superstitious attitude towards their religion. And true religion is not superstition. And you can be superstitious even about the Christian religion. You can have, as it were, the true religion, but not the true heart of the religion. And they had turned the worship of Jehovah, the living God, into a superstition. Fetch the ark up, they said, and then we shall be all right, because Jehovah God will be with us then. But he wasn't. So first of all, there was that. And then they tolerated a corrupt ministry, as we saw on a previous occasion. And then, thirdly, if you turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 7 and verse 3, you'll see the troubles. Verse 2, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, that was the trouble then. They were idolatrous. They were worshipping foreign gods. They were following the superstitions and idolatry and practices of the people around. And they would never know the presence of God and never know the victory of God until they put away these idols and served only God. And that was the reason why this had happened. The glory has departed. But I want to focus our attention now, this morning, upon this word Ichabod and its meaning. The glory has departed. God. What that meant was the power and the presence of Almighty God has gone from us. Ichabod. And I want to suggest to you certain areas where it's possible to write the word Ichabod. You can write the word Ichabod over a nation. And I can only feel that that is because the nation has turned its back very largely upon God, and Ichabod could be written over the nation. The glory has departed, and God has given us up to our idolatry. Ichabod can be written over a nation. Ichabod can be written over the professing church. It's no use blaming the unbelievers who are already anyway in the grip of the devil and walk according to the course of this world. It's the church that is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But if the salt has lost its savour, well, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled under the feet of men. And isn't that exactly what men are doing with the professing church today? Trampled under the feet of men. The church? Who cares what the church says? Who cares what the church thinks about abortion or anything else? Now, I know that the Pope has spoken out and received a great deal of publicity and does so wherever he goes, and a great deal of media attention is given to him, and not surprisingly, because he heads up 765 million Roman Catholics. There are probably more professing Christians in the Roman Catholic denomination than all the other professing denominations put together. And these others do not have the figurehead that the Pope is to the Roman Catholic Church. And so it's little wonder that when he travels abroad and huge crowds come out to greet him and to meet him and to hold the Mass in the huge stadiums, that there is a great deal of attention given to it. You know, when John Knox preached, all Scotland trembled. And it is said of Mary, Queen of Scots, that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the combined armies of her enemies. I mean no disrespect for the Archbishop of Canterbury, but do you think that England trembles when the Archbishop speaks? Or when any bishop speaks? Or when any non-conformist dignitary speaks? Ichabod! I know this is not true of every local church. Thank God for that. And I rejoice that God has not deserted us completely and that we are seeing souls saved. I'm speaking generally, of course. I'm not speaking, you may immediately think of churches that you know where God's glory is manifest and where things are happening and towns which are being shaken. I praise God if it is so. I'm obviously this morning having to speak generally. Generally. But Ichabod can be written over the professing church in some countries, and we can't rule out our own, I suggest. The glory has departed from Israel. Ichabod can be written over a local church. We've spoken about the country. We've spoken about the professing church within the country. We come now to a local church. Ichabod could be written over many a local church. The glory has departed. We are interested in the North Africa mission, beaming out the message of the gospel to North Africa and all other means of bringing the gospel to that needy part of the world. The God is working mightily in the south of the Sahara Desert, but it's a very hard field north of the Sahara and across those lands of North Africa, as we know. But do you know that once great churches flourished there? In the early centuries of Christianity, there were some mighty thriving churches along those shores and along that part of the world, but they were swept away in the march of Islam. But before that, they were swept away by infidelity and idolatry and apostasy and superstition, and they are largely no more. The same is true of Asia, that country which now we would call Turkey, much laid upon the hearts of many of us, but where the number of true believers is almost relatively a handful. But some of the greatest churches of the early centuries were there, and they've gone. Ichabod. I suppose when this chapel was first erected 103 years ago, there were good and godly men, and the gospel was preached, and there were many who came. But do you know, I'm told, that in the 1940s, 46, 47, there were fewer than 10 people worshipped here. Boys and girls in the Covenanters, that's fewer than one row. That's not enough people to fill one pew. It got so low. Do you know what I thank God for? I thank God that the glory can come back. Because here we are this morning. And God sent the Reverend Francis Dixon. God has his men. And he raised up that pioneer evangelist and pastor and preacher. And we shall always honour his name. And the glory return. Not the glory of Francis Dixon, the glory of God return. But Ichabod can be written over a local church. And I have to say this because we may say, well, the glory of God is still with us here at Lansdowne. I hope so. I earnestly hope so. But we must always remember that great crowds do not of themselves mean that God is present. Now, I believe in numbers. I don't accept this business about numbers don't matter. But what I am saying is that mere numbers is not an indication in and of itself that God is present. There might be places of worship into which people are streaming by the hundreds. But nevertheless, God isn't there. The worship will not be in spirit and in truth. The people may go for all sorts of reasons, superstition not least amongst them, but God is not there. You see, they counted 3,000 converts. When God's glory is present, there are converts. Not just numbers, but converts. And the people are a separated people, holy unto the Lord. Not merely a lot of people, but a lot of holy people. A lot of people who are out and out for God, and for whom God is first and last in their lives, and who are mobilized to the winning of converts. That's what happens when God is present. Ichabod, the glory of God, is gone. That's what it means, and it can be written over a local church. Oh, God grant that it's never written again over this one. Ichabod, in the fourth place, can be written over a ministry. A man may be called to the ministry, and he may start well, but one would have to say after a certain time that over his ministry the word Ichabod could be written. The glory has departed. Once God spoke through him, once he was a prophet of God, once he was taken up for all his frailty and sinfulness, he was taken up by Almighty God, and like Samuel, his words came to all Israel, and none of them fell to the ground. But then comes the day when, in all honesty and conscience, you would have to say, the glory has departed. What has happened? Well, it may be that he has, in a desire to be accepted intellectually, he has departed from a belief in the Bible. And he has made intellectualism and respectability and acceptability in scholastic circles his idol. And he pays lip service now to the God of the Bible, just as these people did, but he no longer really and truly believes in the Bible. And God leaves him. He may take a text, he may take a passage, but God is not with him. The glory has departed, Ichabod. He may be anxious for popularity. He makes popularity his idol. Nobody likes to be unpopular. None of us like to be criticized. And therefore there can be a danger and a temptation to say the things that people want to hear. And not say the things that, no, might offend somebody, perhaps particularly some prominent member of the church. And so gradually his message is pruned and shaped and whittled until he's no longer preaching what God wants him to preach, but what men want him to preach. And so God disowns him. I don't mean that he won't go to heaven. I don't mean that he is no longer saved. Once you're the elect of God and saved, your soul is saved. I'm saying he's no longer used of God as a prophet of God's. Ichabod, the glory has departed. It may be that he is enticed by the lusts of the flesh, by the desire for money, or for ambition, or sex, or something that the devil uses to rob him of the presence of God, and the glory departs. Ichabod. Or it may be that he just dries up. These people didn't know the presence of God in the battle. And that can happen to a minister and to a ministry. And I ask you that if ever you feel that it's happened to your minister, that you will tell me. I don't mean judge and criticize every sermon. We don't want that. And what may be a word to one on one particular morning or evening may not be to another, and then your turn will come. But what I do mean is that the leaders of this church should be sensitive to the Spirit of God, so that you know when the Spirit has departed from me. Because I might not know it. They didn't know it. I might try to go out as Samson did, as at other times, and wist not that the strength had departed from him. And you must say to me, Harry, God no longer speaks through you. Either there's something wrong that needs to be put right, or else you've just dried up and you need a time of refreshing. Ichabod can be written over a ministry. Ichabod can be written over a life. And I bring this home as I close my message this morning. The glory has departed. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? You see, you can settle down to a kind of middle-aged idolatry. Was there a time in the life of anybody here this morning? Was there a time when you used to pray, but you no longer do? You used to pray in detail. You would take an atlas or a world map and you would pray for countries in the world, but you wouldn't think of doing that now. You would take the membership list of the church, you would take these area lists, and you would pray for the people upon them, so many every day, but you wouldn't think of doing that now. Because perhaps you don't pray anymore at all. Or if you do, your prayers are just a kind of formality. The glory has departed, hasn't it? It once was there. But the Philistines have captured the ark of your heart, and God is no longer present with you. Was there a time when you used to read the Bible eagerly and you said, as many new converts do say to me sometimes, Pastor, I can't get enough of this. But you don't want it now. Your Bible reading is a formality if it's there at all. Ichabod, the glory has departed. Was there a time when you wouldn't have missed the meeting? When you attended upon every means of grace, you wanted to hear the word whenever the pastor was going to expound it, or any other appointed prophet of God. When you were there at the prayer meeting, you didn't talk about, I've only got 3 free evenings this week. You talked about what to do with the one evening that you did have, that you might use it for the glory and service of God. But now, goodness, God can't get you out one evening. And even on Sundays, you're often just a onesie. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that there are some of you, bless your hearts, who come on a Sunday morning and your physical strength will not allow you to come out at night. And I know that. Don't misunderstand me. Have you settled down to a kind of middle-aged idolatry? There was a time when you wanted to serve the Lord. You sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord Jesus dominated your life. He was the Alpha and the Omega of your life. But he isn't anymore. Ichabod, the glory has departed. You used to witness for the Lord Jesus. You had tracts in your pocket. You wrote letters. You talked to anybody you could about him. When did you last speak to somebody of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or seek to win a soul for him? You may say, as some people do say, well, I've retired now. I've retired and I'm leaving it to younger men. Well, I know that there is a sense in which people are moved from one job to another, and sometimes it's a right and a godly thing to leave certain things to younger men. But you don't retire as a Christian. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." He didn't retire. He fought to the end. He ran to the tape. He went right until his head was chopped off. Oh, beloved person, let God's word, don't resent my words, please, I mean no offense. But we don't retire as Christians. We're not to make idols of our homes. We're not to make idols of our careers. We're not to make idols of study, so that when someone comes and says, "Will you do a job for the Lord?" "Well, I haven't got time, you see. My commitments are too great." What commitments? Are you sure that they're God-given commitments? Or is it, alas, that Ichabod ought to be written over your life? The glory has departed. Well, then I say this to you. Thank God the glory can return. And as the glory can return to a church, so the glory can return to a life. Wrote William Cowper, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from the throne and worship only thee." Only you and God knows if this word applies to you, Ichabod. But thank God this very morning that word can be wiped away and substitute it with a word that we might come to, Ebenezer, "Hitherto has the Lord helped me, for the glory has returned." Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the scriptures, and we bless you that you have put these things in your word for our instruction and also for our reproof and our training in righteousness. We know that the Philistines will come upon us, the enemy with all his wiles and powers will attack us. He will seek to rob us of that which is most precious. We do not blame the country when the church is impotent. And when we think of the professing church, O Lord, we have to come home to ourselves, for the church is comprised of Christians. So we pray that you will write this message upon our hearts. And we pray, O God, that it might not be Ichabod, either upon this church or upon this heart. And if it has been so in a life, we pray that that word might be altered. We pray that the idols may be cast away. We pray that there may be a renewed consecration, and we pray that you will return in all your glory and power into that life, whether old or young or middle aged, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.